Business of Property podcast. I'm Simon.
And I'm Simon.
I've been investing in property for over 20 years, and if you're an active landlord or planning your next property investment, this podcast provides interesting and useful conversations to help your property journey. If you're willing and able to leave a rating or review in your podcast player of choice, I would really appreciate it. Now, today, I am joined by Simon Glastonbury, who is an independent mortgage broker with 25 years of experience providing mortgages, bridging, and development finance for home buyers and investors. And we are going to discuss mortgages and the mortgage world, because it's a wonderful thing to talk about. And we're going to kick off today talking about an article I was reading recently, and it was talking about the general mood in the property market, seemingly sort of going up and getting a bit more positive, maybe, hopefully. However, that seemed to possibly be introducing a sort of lack of urgency in the market. And Simon, you said this is something you do seem to be seeing. So how is that actually manifesting for you in the mortgage world?
Well, hi, Simon, again. It's great to be on. And interesting times, yes. A really good article that's been put out there. Something we've certainly noticed. There is activity. There are some green shoots, as they would say, coming into the property and the mortgage market at the moment. Certainly from our side of the fence. More activity. When we look at more activity, we're looking at the purchase market. Remortgages, we would say, are they're there and around, and they're always going to be around. So let's look at the purchase market. We're noticing, I mean, as everybody can, you jump onto Rightmove or Zoopla, and you can see lots of properties coming on the market, which has got to be a good thing if you're in and around our business. But a great point within the article is a lack of urgency. Why is that a lack of urgency? I think personally, it's people are then, or over the last probably 18 months or so, because and maybe longer, because of there's been very few properties on the market, lack of choice. People will just jump on them and then get them completed as soon as possible if they've made that choice and if they want to move for whatever reason it is, whether it's an investment or a residential property. At the moment, I think it's, well, actually they've put an offer in on something, and we're noticing this. And then actually something else has come on. This hasn't happened very much. It will always happen because people change their mind. And of course they do. We understand that. But within the, you know, as we know, within the property market and the buying process within the country, people can pull out at any time. A quick offshoot of that, another article we read in the week, we let the industry or clients, customers, people lost just under £1 billion in fees last year alone because of gazumping, pulling out, whatever the case may be. That's a huge amount of money. That's a process issue. That's a, you know, slightly different issue. But it just goes to show people are not scared to pull out and to change properties. So it does go hand in hand with the lack of urgency, because people think, well, actually, I won't move things so quickly. We'll just wait just to see if anything else comes on the market, or can we get a slightly better offer for our property? That is definitely something we're seeing. How do you stop that? You just can't, unless the process changes. Absolutely no talk of that happening. So we're kind of stuck where we are at the moment with that one.
Yeah, it is very frustrating, isn't it? Especially when people pull out of a deal. And I've seen or heard of a couple of examples recently where people have gone a long way through the process and then pulled out right around the point of exchange. And you kind of think, surely you must have known a bit earlier than that, having gone through months of process. And I mean, do you actually see this much in the people you're dealing with?
Yes.
I mean, what sort of rate of fall throughs are you currently witnessing?
Rate wise, it would be on the purchase market is fairly high at the moment. I would probably say we're in the region of 20%. I would normally expect a fallout rate of around maybe 10 would be normal, just because, and that's just that standard. Someone else in the chain is, you know, chains fall down for all sorts of reasons, whether it be a valuation in one of the properties, they can't get a mortgage on it, they just decide they don't want to proceed. We are, I think we touched on it in our last pod, that the first-time buyers is a real sticking point in the marketplace at the moment. Everything seems to be falling over, not everything, but a large majority from first-time buyers. Now, whether that be because the interest rates are higher, they think the interest rates are going to come down, they think property prices are going to come down, they think they're paying too much for the property in the first place, they think they might find something else because there's more property coming on the market. There could be a whole stream of things. The reason you're never going to find out exactly, because they, unless it's your client, you don't actually know. But going back to your point on when they stop and losing, of course, we've seen it right up until it literally day of exchange and people pulling out. Now, if you're the one pulling out and you have a genuine reason, then fine, you feel okay about it. But you can quite, we can quite often see 4, 5, 6, 7 people in the chain, and they've all arranged their life around and dreams about moving home. Or if it's an investor, you know, they've already worked out costs and prices and tenants. These things, it's you actually look at it on paper and the process is terrible and really needs to be revamped to stop this from happening. But it doesn't, and we continue with it. And certainly from our point of view, and I said it before, us poor old, you know, brokers who sit there, and we've done, you know, 2-3 months of work alongside the clients all the way up to that point, and someone down the chain said, no thanks, I'm not going ahead now. And that's it. We don't, you know, we're not paid for that, as well as a lot of people. A lot of the solicitors as well, they will not charge.
So difficult for people as well, because by the time you get to exchange, you're looking at probably, if it's your home, you're looking at moving in a week or 2 weeks' time. I mean, you've probably got movers booked and all sorts of things. And yes, very, very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things where historically, wasn't it? If you look back on when you bought your first property, then exchange and completion was always 4 weeks. It was, when I started this, it was everywhere. It was religiously, I don't know why, probably more solicitors, and because we were dealing with carrier pigeon and faxes back in those days, but it was always 4 weeks. Now, it's commonplace. It's more often than not, it's a week later. And you have to book removals. You have to back box everything up. You cannot leave it for a week. It's impossible. Everybody would know that. So it is, and it's an upheaval, and an emotional upheaval is, as well as the business and the cost and adding to it. Yeah, it's not good. And I get the feeling, with more property coming on the market, we may see a bit more of that as we go in, with people chopping and changing the property you want. But then again, that might be, if there's more property on the market, then they may be more desperate to actually win that property over. So there's two sides of it.
Yeah. I'm not sure I should admit that I can't remember how long it was between exchange and completion on the first property I bought. I don't know if that's just because it was so long ago, or because my memory's just not very good, but we'll glaze over that. So thinking about sort of the lack of urgency in the market generally, are you seeing that at all with lenders and that side of the market? Are they taking their time these days, or are they pretty quick?
The one good thing about the market as it is at the moment, the lenders are up to date in the majority. They seem to be all very, very quick. And we brokers, we forget how appalling they've been at times when you've got a client and they're trying to rush a mortgage offer through, and they don't look at a piece of documentation for 2 or 3 weeks at a time, and you cannot get that pushed through because everybody's case is important, of course. So that's a real headache. At the moment, on the whole, the lenders are very, very good. Valuers are going out within a couple of days. We're getting offers through in good time with most lenders. You will notice, I'd put that caveat in, you will notice lenders are asking more questions these days. That's if people are out there and haven't had a mortgage or applied for a mortgage in some time, and it sort of rings a bell. This sort of rings a bell with me at the moment, because I've recently I've been doing a mortgage for a family member, and they were, you know, very honest with me. They never used to be like this. What on earth is going on? And of course, I'm used to it every day, expecting all of these questions, I think, and they're saying, why am I being picked on? Why are they asking so many questions? Why are they looking at my bank statement? Because that's the way of the world at the moment. So people are, they are doing a lot more work. We have to do a lot more work. We look at things in a lot more detail, which is good. It secures the market, it secures lending. So just be prepared for that. But as a whole, lenders, big pat on the back from me at the moment, because I'm soon quick enough to hit them.
Yeah, well, we'll see how they're doing in 5-6 weeks time when I talk to you next. It can change rapidly. Yeah, I think perhaps actually on a future episode we should talk through sort of what people expect and what they need to provide and things these days to update people, but that's not what we're going to go into today. Instead, you mentioned valuations there, and I know that you also talked or mentioned before, when we were talking before this recording started, that you have seen some down valuations again. And I know that a lot of the press at the moment is talking about small market rises. I mean, nothing to write home about, but small rises. So that doesn't seem to really sort of fit with down valuations coming through. So where does that, or how does that work and fit?
I think valuations is a sticky topic with a lot of people. We see it constantly. Once you're told by one estate agent or the guy down the pub that your property is worth X, that's the figure people have in mind. It's only your property is worth what somebody's going to pay for it. And it's as simple as that. Just because an estate agent wants to get your business, and they have, they all know it. It's an age old sales pitch of theirs. Put the property up. Yes, we can get X amount for your property. Come and sign on a dotted line with us. And of course, they're just over increasing the value of the property so they can get you on the books. It doesn't happen so much in a booming market, because there's lots and lots of properties when they need and desperate. And I totally understand it. In a market that it's been for the last couple of years, which has been tough, they haven't had the instructions they wanted. They're doing anything to get your business. And every now and then they do get, they do get the valuation. The problem is the valuer then goes round. It's an independent valuer from every single mortgage company. It's not the mortgage company. The mortgage company is not allowed to value your property. An independent valuer has to go around legally to value that property. And it's their decision what they make. Now, a lot of people will then say, and it goes on to the conversation we had about down valuations. We've had a number. To give you an idea, quite a large one recently, a client thought their renovated property was worth in the region of 275 to 285. It come back in at 190. That's huge at that level. Now, if you're talking 1.4, 1.5 million and it's £100,000 off, then when you go, that's not too bad. At that level, when they put a lot of their own money in to renovate the property, I don't know the area that well, but I looked at the property and went, It just doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't. It's what can you get for 190,000 these days in the southeast? And they've done it very nicely. That's the kind of thing. But we're constantly getting a couple of others I've had in the region of 400,000, 50, 60, 70,000 pounds off on a couple of buy to lets. The rental market not so bad. We're looking. It's quite difficult for a valuer to down value a rental, the potential rental on a property if they're already getting that. Now, if they are overcharging, we've had a few of those before, where people are getting, let's say, for example, £2,500 a month, and it's really only worth £1,700 a month. The valuer will say, well, hold on. No, that's not right. You may be getting that, but it's not actually worth it. So they will work on the lower figure. So people have to be, again, this is something, just because someone has been overcharging, that's not what the lender will work on. But it then goes to something for appeals. Right, what happens? And it's a question I'm asked for. As soon as you get a huge valuation, down valuation like that, it's immediately, right, I want to appeal this. My heart sinks at that point, because you very, very rarely get it overturned. Very rarely. I can count on one hand how many valuations I've had overturned in 25 years over. They just don't happen. And if they do, they're kind of possibly meet you halfway. They'll never go to what you want it to be, because the valuers clearly don't want to be seen as doing the job wrong in the first place. So they'll just look at it and go, no. Now, for people out there, if you want to appeal these, most lenders, and I'll have that, you'll have to speak to your broker and the lender, but most lenders will accept an appeal form in the form of, if it's a property you're buying, it needs to be 3 sold properties, not under offer, not on the marketplace. They need to be sold, and the sold prices, usually within the last 6 months. Okay. Quite difficult in a lot of places, and they've got to be in the local area. So you can't then, and you know, you can't be too far away. And I've seen it in the likes of cities generally, but you use London, for example. Valuers have to be the appeal process has to be very close to the property you're buying, because as we know, you could be half a mile down the road and it's a different borough. And the valuation is completely different because the schools are nicer, it's near a train station or any that, and the same property could be £200,000-£300,000 different and higher. So you have to be careful. You have to, and this is where you work hand in hand with the broker. The broker doesn't, we don't have any say in this. The lender does. The fingers are always pointed at the lender, and it's not their fault. They're told they have to use an independent valuer. The valuer goes out. They're not trying. Well, I don't think they're trying to downvalue. I think a lot of the time is people are unrealistic in what their figures are. You can appeal it. Don't expect it to. What I would say is, don't expect it to change, because it very, very rarely does.
Yeah, I mean, I've got my sort of own anecdote around this topic from a year-ish ago. No, more than that now. 18 months. I don't know. A while ago, and I was buying a buy-to-let property that needed some work. I knew it needed some work, so hence the offer I put in, I thought, reflected that, and it was sort of less than the asking and things. But then the valuer went round and said, actually, you're buying it at this, and that's what I think it's worth when it's finished, rather than in its current state. And I think it needs, I think it was £10,000 of work. So I'm going to reduce the value by £10,000. And I was able to actually go back and say, actually, I've got a builder to come in, and they've given me a quote for £5,000 for the work. So it's only £5,000 that you would need to adjust it by anyway. And in the end, after some back and forth, the lender came back and said, well, okay, we'll sort of meet you halfway. And their sort of halfway meeting thing was that we will allow you to still purchase it at the higher price, but we will only give you a mortgage based on the lower price. Yeah. So is that a common sort of workaround for down valuations, that the lender will still allow you to buy at the higher price, but just revise their mortgage? Or does... is that unusual? Do they more often say, no, you must change what you're actually buying it for?
No, absolutely. That's commonplace. What you're in fact doing is you're putting more deposit in. It's as simple as that. If it's £5,000 over £10,000, I mean, it's a lot of money, but in the when you're talking about mortgage figures and loans, it's not. It's sort of one of those things. Well, okay, it's £5,000. I'll put that, but you're just adding that to your costs. You're paying that over. Now, if I always say to clients, unless there's something particular you think it's just the right property for you, it's absolutely perfect, and you know you're going to make some money out of it being an investor, or even if it's a residential property, you think this is your dream home. If it comes back at a down valuation on something, that I tell all of my clients pretty much across the board, don't pay over what someone, a professional valuer, has valued it at, because you're paying over the odds. Now, is there a good reason why you're paying over the odds? Because it's coming out of your pocket. Now, in that situation, you've got to do some work. It will probably get overvalued. And at the end of the day, it's just someone's opinion. That's what it is. It's down to someone's opinion. And we know, I don't know what the figures are on that, but if you've got a property worth 200,000, for example, or a small property worth 200,000, it can be 210 the next week, or you could put it on for 220. I mean, you just throw the figures out there. We all do it. And that's just the way it is. So it's fairly irrelevant. It's just very annoying when it's regarding the mortgage, because all of a sudden you have to go back and you have to start negotiating again. Or if you've got a good estate agent, the estate agents will then negotiate on your behalf. But it is quite a good tool if it's downvalued and it's a purchase, because you can go back and say, well, look, the valuer said it's only worth this, so I'm not paying any more than that. You could be in that. That's where what I would say to people, if you are downvalued, don't pay more unless you have a very good reason for it.
So the reason I didn't go back and say I need to pay less was because I would have then, or I was told by my broker at the time, it wasn't you, but just put that in just before you say, oh no, they did the terrible thing. So, or to say that you can say that. But the reason was that if I'd gone back, my broker said that would basically reset the mortgage application and I would have to start again. And at this time, it was during the rates going up period. And they said, if that happened, I'd have to restart and the rate would be higher. So actually, I'll be better off slightly overpaying for the property, because it would secure the much lower rate. So, was I well advised? Was that sensible?
It sounds a bit dubious, because I'm not quite sure where they have you reset the application. It may be wording, it may be the lender. If it's a specific lender, I generically, that would not be the case. If someone comes in and values it and you're buying it, I'm just using figures, you buy it at 200, it comes in at 190. They will just say, well, it's 190. Do you want to go ahead at the valuation of 190 and then reduce the loan accordingly? It's just figures, because initially when we're putting an application through, you say, right, what are you buying for? Yeah, 250. The valuation comes back and said, oh, actually, it needs a timber and damp report. It needs a roof report. It needs whatever. That comes back. All sorts of things can change, as well as you can renegotiate prices all the way along anyway. Someone in the chain might be renegotiating. Happens quite a lot. It seems to be the top end for whatever reason, and they're knocking £100,000 off their £1 million property or whatever it may be, and it filters down. This happens all the time, and all of those mortgages are not reset. They're, what happens is they will just go back to the lender. We would simply, most of the time, just send up a memo, a note to the lender and say, well, actually, client is happy to go in at the new price, and it will be, the loan is 75% loan to value, so it then adjusts the loan accordingly. It doesn't, I mean, I get the point of what you don't want to do is renew the application, go into a higher rate. That's a big no-no, certainly. But I mean, it's unusual. I'm not saying the person's wrong. I wouldn't expect it. But without knowing all of the details, I wouldn't know. But again, if you look at the property, it's, you know, it's a lot of money, but in the great scheme of things, hopefully you've got the property you want. It's, you know, you've done the work and now it's worth X more. And really, what does the valuer know any more than you and I?
Indeed. Yeah. Yes, maybe I need a new mortgage broker next time. We shall see.
I'm sure I can find one for you.
I don't know. They're really difficult to find. So we've got one more topic that we thought we'd discuss today before we move on to a sort of quick fire round of the current mortgage rates. So this was hopefully a fairly quick one, and it's around cladding on flats and the requirement for EWS1 forms these days. And I saw an article that was sort of reminded me that this was an issue at all. I kind of forgotten, because it's happened so long ago that I thought maybe everyone's sorted it out now. But you said that no, you do still see properties coming through without EWS1 forms, where this is sort of typically in the remortgage world, because you said that basically new purchases, you still just can't mortgage without an EWS1 form if it's a flat that's big enough to require one. So what are the options for people who are still in that situation and needing to remortgage?
Lenders will only look at these properties if they have an EWS1 form. And for a lot of people out there, no idea what it is. External Wall System Fire Review Certificate, the official title. I believe I would have to double check. I think it's over something like four stories, if you're in a multi-story block. And then your managing agent or something should be. I would expect pretty much all properties have either been done, in the process of being done, or they're looking at it. I know getting these certificates, there was a huge backlog at the start. I don't know what the timescales are now. It's not really my place. But yes, where we're coming through is not in the purchase market, because that would normally be picked up by the estate agent. Because the estate agent knows anything about the property, they will immediately say, does it have an EWS1 form? Because they know, why would they waste their time? It's not going to sell unless you're a cash buyer. Mm-hmm. You could buy it from a cash buyer. Why would you? Possibly knowing, if you know the property, if you're getting it cheaper because it hasn't got the form. Who knows, whatever reason may be. But that I can't really, and even at that, I'm not sure I would buy it cash, because you don't know what's, you know, there have been many stories when saying actually they're not issuing the certificate because of issues with the property. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the
you've got a huge remedial bill pending.
Yeah, absolutely. So you know, you have got issues there, but we're seeing it on the remortgage market, and purely on the remortgage market, because people don't know they need one. And it's generally on the smaller properties. The larger properties were all over this, and the managing agents and housing associations, whatever it may be, we're all over this from the start. So yes, we're still seeing it. Yes, we can do it. There are lenders out there, but they need an EWS1 form. So if it is a concern for anybody, speak to the managing agent of the property to make sure it's in place.
So if you don't have one and you've got a mortgage, if effectively you're just stuck on that mortgage at whatever rate your current lender wishes to impose upon you?
100%. Yeah, exactly that. I mean, the only option you then have is... most lenders now offer rate switches. Even the small specialist lenders were the last to start offering those as kind of standard. There are still plenty out there who don't, and will just then just expect you to remortgage away, and you can't. So that's a scary thought. You know, that's something which you're now going on to. Certainly with it, again, smaller specialist lenders, if you're in the buy-to-let market, if it's a limited company buy to let, you could be going on a 9.5, 10% standard variable rate, and no choice, you know, because you cannot move away because you don't have the correct form. And also, can you move away with the current stress tests? You know, that goes hand in hand. You know, there are a number of reasons why I just think, well, I just can't do anything. Lender, you know, some of these lenders will just go, well, sorry, we don't have that option. Most do. We don't come across that very often, but it's certainly something to look out for. And it's kind of something you need to ask at the beginning. But if you can, but with, yes, if you're concerned about it, ask, because it may cause you issues further on down the line.
So for flats that do require this and do have an EWS1 form, do those mortgage applications generally go through smoothly?
Yeah.
The mortgage broker, mortgage lenders aren't being picky about them or anything there. They've got their systems sorted now, have they?
Yeah, absolutely. The certificate is their insurance to ensure as much as possible, I presume, to ensure the property is fit and safe. So as long as you have that, it's a rubber stamp to say, right, okay, we will lend on the property. It if you've got that tick in the box, and it will be looked at by the solicitor, if you've got that tick in the box, it's fine. You just move on. No issues. So certainly people do not need to worry about it from the offset. So yeah, no issues at all there.
Excellent. Good news before we head into our current mortgage rate roundup. So this could be a sort of quick fire round, but I think you said before we started recording that currently mortgage rates are very dull. So I suspect that these might be very similar to the last time we did this.
Absolutely.
So let's sorry, go on.
No, absolutely. Dull is the word. It's kind of, that's where the market is at the moment. There's a huge lull in the marketplace. We're all expecting this base rate drop. We're all sort of keeping everything crossed to give the market a little bit of a boost that I think we all need and we all look for, and just some sort of springtime joy to bring to us. The rates, they're not very exciting. Buy-to-let lenders are in the hole. They're still offering these very low sort of 3.79 two-year fixed rates with a 7% fee to make these things fit. And it's a bit like going back to what I've just said about these lenders who, if you need to remortgage over to them, you need to meet the stress testing with them. And that's the only way it works. You know, you either stay with your current lender on 9-10% standard variable, or you move over and you pay a 7% fee. You do the math. Wowza. Yeah. I mean, that can really hurt. But if that's, you are getting a very good rate, but you're also paying it works for some. It doesn't work for others. But they're still on there. The sensible rates out there, if you call them sensible rates, the standard sort of buy-to-lets are, you can get a 4.88 with a 995 fee at 75%. Yep. I think that's more realistic. That's it, 2 year, 4.45 on a 5 year. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of where we are. I think that's sort of realistic. It's not horrendous. If you look at the historically, I know we've got the 1-2% rates were just over our shoulder. They were a couple of years ago now. Mm-hmm. This is where we are. Limited company buy to lets around about 5 year rates, 5.44. Mm-hmm. So I would expect those to come down. HMOs, very similar. There is a 4.89 on the HMO, but that comes with a 5% fee again. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want that at that sort of horrendous fees, you've got to pay slightly more. I would love to see those buy-to-let rates creep below the 5% mark, or the limited company ones creep below the 5% mark when the base rate comes down. Will that happen? Don't know. I mean, they're very similar. I still think the frightening thing is the residential rates are very, very similar to the buy-to-let rates. In all of my years, I've never seen that before. It really is. I mean, the best sort of you're looking at 4.37 5-year fixed rate for, if you're a residential just looking to move home. It's not a lot of difference between a buy to let and residential property. So apart from the dreaded fee. But there isn't any, they haven't really changed from a month ago when we spoke before. I think we're all waiting in anticipation for this, for the wonderful Bank of England to reduce the base rate down and then see if it trickles down. It may not, you know, the banks don't have to change their fixed rates. It doesn't go hand in hand. The tracker rates, yes. Variable rates, standard variable rates, yes. But of course, you want your standard variable rate coming down from 8%, 9%. Doesn't necessarily mean fixed rates will. I think they will slightly. Yeah, we have to wait and see.
So one extra little question just before we finish up then. As we record, there isn't going to be another Bank of England rate decision for a little while. But the next time we record will probably be just after or a little bit after the next decision. So do you think in that next recording we are going to be celebrating a rate reduction or not?
Oh, what a question to end with. I'm going to put my neck on the line and say yes. I'm expecting the first of the summer, because historically rates don't change very much in midsummer. So it's always before that period and then potentially afterwards. Whether that makes any difference, I don't know. So I think they'll try to get in early. We're talking about May. So I would suggest, I'm expecting a 0.25% drop. I would like to think, if that's where I'm going, I think it's going that way. I think we've got the inflation figures are pointing in that direction. Everything is to say that it should drop. Whether it does or not is a different matter, but that's where my 10 pence is, Simon. So you can hold me to that.
Excellent. I'm not quite sure what we could buy with a 10 pence if that goes either way, but we should work that out. So excellent. I shall look forward to seeing how well your prediction turns out when we next record. And until then, for everyone listening, if you are looking for a mortgage broker, do look in the show notes. You'll find contact details for Simon Glastonbury, and he'll be very happy to talk to you. And until next time, I hope you've enjoyed Mortgage Update, and I will talk to you again next week.